Go ahead and open your Bibles, please, to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 is where we are, and as you'll recall, we're talking about taking out the trash of our life. The Holy Spirit wants to take out the trash in our life, and that trash is sin. Amen? Amen. We talked about last week, I told you how one of my favorite parts of modern society is trash pickup. You put all the trash in the can, and once a week they just take it away. It's the greatest thing. Last week, I must have forgotten about that wonderful thing. My trash day in our neighborhood is Thursday. Wednesday night, we put out the cans. You know how it is. You do it at your house. Wednesday night, you put out the cans. At some point Thursday, they come and they dump it all, and then Thursday night, you put them back in. Well, Thursday morning, last week, not 3 days ago or 2 days ago, but 10 or 12 days ago, I got too busy, and I got sidetracked, and I just got up Thursday morning and took off. You would not believe that guy. The trash guy came, he saw that my cans were not at the curb, and you know what he did not do? He didn't dump my trash. I thought it's an easy thing just to stop and get out of your truck, go knock on the door, hey, Mr. Gordon, you didn't put your can out, can you bring me your can? Maybe he could have hopped the fence and gotten the thing over, but he didn't even dump, he just passed me up. Can you believe that? Of course you can believe that. Of course that's what they do. I forgot to put out my cans, and as a result, I had too much trash. I had to wait a whole another week. I'm standing in the can, jumping in the can, trying to get 2 weeks' trash down in the can because the guy's got to come and take out the trash. We're born with a lot of trash in our hearts. The Holy Spirit is there to take out the trash, and he doesn't come once a week. He lives in your heart, and he's there to take out the trash. Galatians 5, please stand with me as we read the scriptures. Galatians 5, you're familiar with it? Verse 16. But I say to you, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Will you pray with me, please? It is so awesome that Jesus has come into our hearts to take out the trash, the things listed in 19 and 20 and 21, and to replace it with the beautiful things listed in 22 and 23. Would you pray right now, just between you and the Lord, pray right now and say, God, I want you to take out the trash in my heart. Please help me understand the scriptures and help me respond to them. You pray that right now. Would you pray for the other people in this room? That God would open their hearts and soften their hearts, and they would want nothing more than to cooperate with the Holy Spirit as he takes out the trash and replaces it with things that are beautiful. Pray for them right now that this sermon would feed them and touch their hearts. Would you pray for me now that I would preach this sermon accurately and therefore powerfully? May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be pleasing to you in Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Some of you pray for me as I prepare the sermon during the week. Some of you pray for me as I'm preaching the sermon. I hope it is obvious to every single one of you that on my own, I can't do anything to help you. I'm completely dependent on God. So those of you that pray for me on a regular basis, please continue. And if you haven't considered that, please include me in your prayers during the week that God, by His Holy Spirit, would help me preach this message and all other messages. Last week, we looked at the first word in the list. We're going through this list slowly so that we can understand what these things are so we can get them out of our lives. Verse 19, the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality. We looked at immorality, the Greek word porneia, sexual immorality. We talked about the fact that homosexuality is sexual immorality. Adultery is sexual immorality. And all sex outside of marriage between a man and a woman is sexual immorality. The Holy Spirit wants to take that trash out of your heart and replace it with purity. Let's look at the next word, 19. The deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality. Impurity is the next word. Impurity is the next word. Fascinating Greek word. The word is akatharsia. You might have heard the English word catharsis, which means a cleansing. We get that from Greek, catharsis, cleansing. The Greek word is a, for a negative, catharsia. The medical world in the ancient times, the medical Greek-speaking world, used the term akatharsia to describe an infected wound. An infected, unclean wound in the Greek culture was called akatharsia. And of course, Paul uses it here for sin, and it means impurity, uncleanness, filth, or infection. We have all seen infected wounds on people. Maybe you've had a wound that is infected, and you know that an infected wound will poison the body. You have to get control of that. Sin is like that. Sin is an infection. And if you leave it in there, it poisons the body. Paul is probably referring to sexual immorality when he uses this second word, impurity. Number one in your notes, sin is heart contamination. Sin is heart contamination. Jesus made this point to the Pharisees. Look behind me, Matthew 23. 25 through 27. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of robbery and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and of the dish, so that outside may be clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You are like whitewashed tombs, which on the outside appear beautiful, but inside they are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. He says to the Pharisees, outside you look pretty good, but inside you're dirty. Sin is heart contamination. The Holy Spirit is in our hearts to clean that contamination out. Praise His holy name. That is why we love Jesus. That is why we love Jesus, and that is why we cooperate with Jesus, because we want that contamination out of our lives. Religion cleans the outside of a person. Jesus cleans the inside. Number two in your notes, it is a great blessing to have a pure heart. It is a great blessing to have a pure heart. Jesus said this in Matthew 5, verse 8, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." We are called to purity. Look at 2 Corinthians 7, 1. "Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." Christ died to make us pure, holy, and blameless. Look at Ephesians 5, 25. "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he may present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless." We all value purity. We value purity in our society. You want pure water to drink. So do I. You want pure air to breathe. So do I. But in our desire for purity, we have forgotten something so vital and important and commanded and necessary. Our society is more concerned over a pure or clean internet connection than a pure heart. A pure heart is what we need. Purity is very important. My brothers and sisters, Jesus, his plan for you is to make your heart pure gold. Just as he cleansed the leper, he wants to cleanse you of your sin. The word for sin used in Galatians 5 is impurity. It's not only important that we have pure hearts as individuals, it is also very important that we have pure church. Purity as individuals is important, but we must work together to have a pure church. Keep your finger in Galatians 5 and join me in 1 Corinthians 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Says this, "It is actually reported that there is immorality among you." This is Paul, of course, writing to the Corinthians. "An immorality of such a kind, it does not exist even among the Gentiles. Someone has his father's wife. You become arrogant. You have not mourned instead, so that the one who has done this deed would be removed from your midst. I, on my part, though absent in body but present in spirit, have already judged him who has so committed this, as though I were present. In the name of our Lord Jesus, when you are assembled, and I with you in spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus, I have decided to deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, so his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough? Clean out the old leaven, so that you may be a new lump, just as you are in fact unleavened, for Christ our Passover also has been sacrificed." Paul is writing to Corinth, and he says, you have someone among you that's committing gross sexual immorality, and you haven't dealt with it. Get them out. Why? He says, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. What does that mean? We have a more common saying. We say, one bad apple spoils the whole bunch. You've heard that. What is Paul trying to teach the church in Corinth? And what is he trying to teach us? If we allow sin to take root in our church in one individual, and we don't deal with that sin, like a festering wound, poisons the body. We must be a pure church. Purity is very important. Go back to Galatians 5 with me. Galatians 5:19. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality. Very interesting Greek word here in verse 19, sensuality. The word means excessive. Excessive. It describes unrestrained sin. Excessive sexual indulgence, excessive drinking, really any excessive sin is what Paul is talking about here. And again, in this context, in Galatians 5, Paul is probably specifically talking about sexual immorality. This Greek word excessive describes sin that has no concern for others, no concern for decency. Sin that shows no shame. Brothers and sisters of Trinity Baptist, our society is degenerating into more and more shameful behavior. Have you noticed it? Christians are to be the life preservers in society. When you're spending time with your friends, you should be the one that preserves the modesty and dignity of yourself and others. When you're spending time with your friends, you should be the one that preserves the modesty and dignity of yourself and others. And I just want to remind you, brothers and sisters of Trinity, there is no occasion when you have an excuse to set aside the morals and ethics of the Bible. There is no occasion where you have an excuse to set aside the morals and ethics of the Bible. Dave, can I help? I'm good? Okay. There is no occasion where you can set aside the morals and ethics of the Bible. I don't care if it's a bachelor party. I don't care if it's your 21st birthday. I don't care if it's grad night. I don't care if it's New Year's Eve. We are to live every moment to the glory of God. If you are a Christian, your bachelor party from beginning to end should exalt and glorify Jesus Christ. There is no occasion under which that is not true. When you are with your friends, you should be the one that preserves the modesty and dignity of yourself and others. Society is counting on us. We're the only ones that have the answer to the ever-increasing sin of the world. In Paul's day, Christianity revolutionized society with a very powerful concept: purity. Purity. Look at Ephesians 4 behind me. Ephesians 4:17. This I say and affirm together with the Lord that you walk no longer as the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. The best way to understand Scripture is to read slowly and carefully and pull everything out of there. Look at that again. So I say this and affirm together with the Lord that you walk no longer as the Gentiles walk. How do the Gentiles walk? In the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. Three words I want you to see: futility, darkened, and ignorant. Verse 19, and they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness, but you did not learn Christ in this way. Sin is the result of futile thinking. The Greek word futile basically means ineffective. Productive thinking leads to righteousness. Productive thinking leads to righteousness. Ineffective thinking leads to sin. Look back at Galatians 5. Galatians 5, 19. The deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry. Idolatry. Very interesting. We do not usually worship statues in this country. Got a real interesting story about worshiping statues, but I'm going to save that for later. But we do have a form of idolatry. Look at what Paul says in Colossians 3, 5 behind me. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. One Bible scholar calls idolatry a worship of the creature rather than the Creator. Look what Paul says in Ephesians 5, 5 behind me. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance of the kingdom of Christ in God. What's the point? Number three in your notes. Christianity is all about love. Christianity is all about love. And it starts with God's love for us. I'm so glad that we celebrated God's love for us at the communion table today. Look at 1 John 4, 7 through 10, behind me on the screen. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God. Why? God is love. By this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Christianity is not primarily you loving God. Christianity is, first of all, God loving you. You have to see this. You are first of all an object of divine love. A, in your notes. Your relationship with God is, first of all, God loving you. And then you receiving that love. Your relationship with God is, first of all, God loving you and you receiving that love. Christianity is the ultimate story of love. God loves you so much, he wants you to be his child. Sin separated us from God, corrupted our hearts. God, in his eternal love, gave us his Son and his Spirit to save us. Christianity is not primarily you loving God, it is God loving you. Your response to his love is to love him back. You see, Christianity is all about love. Why do we forsake sin? Why do we forsake sin? Why do we look at these things in Galatians 5, 19 and 20 and 21 and forsake them? We forsake them because we love God. Join me at Mark chapter 12. Mark 12. Mark 12, 28. One of the scribes came and heard them arguing, and recognizing that he had answered them well, asked him, this is Jesus Christ, what commandment is foremost of all? Jesus answered, the foremost is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment, the greatest commandment, the ultimate commandment, says Jesus Christ, is love God. Love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. Here's the problem. Sin in our hearts contaminates our hearts. And the result of that contamination is we do not love God the way we should. Let me show you. Please turn to 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 4. But realize this, that in the last days difficult times will come, for men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious, gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Very powerful passage, brothers and sisters. There are four loves mentioned in this passage. Four. The defective heart. The defective heart turns its affection away from God and loves self, money, and pleasure. My question to you this morning is, which one of those describes you? Are you a lover of self? Are you a lover of money? Are you a lover of pleasure? Or are you a lover of God? Which one describes you? Look at B in your notes. A pure heart loves God. A contaminated heart malfunctions and loves other people or things instead. A pure heart loves God. A contaminated heart malfunctions and loves other people or things instead. Galatians 5:19. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, and sorcery. Sorcery. Your Bible might say witchcraft. Fascinating Greek word here, sorcery or witchcraft. It's the word pharmakeia. Pharmakeia. We get our English pharmacy. And it literally means the preparing and using of medicine. You may be wondering why the English translators translated pharmakeia into sorcery or witchcraft. Because the word literally means what it means to us, the preparing or using of medicine. And we learn something here in Galatians chapter 5, that in order to understand the Bible, you need to understand the culture of the Bible. When you're studying the Bible, you misunderstand it because you don't understand the culture or the customs. So it's very important that as we look at Galatians 5, we know the culture and customs of Paul's day. In Bible times, mind-altering drugs were used in occultic worship practices. Witchcraft, charms, spells, and things like that. So what Paul is condemning here in Galatians 5:20 is the use of drugs in magic, spells, and witchcraft, and things like that. Today, non-Christian spiritual activity does not necessarily involve drugs. But brothers and sisters, any activity, with drugs or not, any activity involving the powers of evil is dangerous and is not God's will for you. Listen to some contemporary examples. These are just things that I was thinking about. Ouija boards, occult games, spells, curses, mental telepathy, trances, spirit guides, any form of spirit worship. Any form of spirit worship is a deed of the flesh. Sometimes spirit worship will be cultural. We see this type of thing in Native Americans sometimes. All spirit worship, if it is not centered on Jesus Christ, is wrong. We are to worship Christ. Witchcraft, Wicca, fortune telling, palm reading, astrology, hypnosis, black magic, white magic, these things are inappropriate for Christian people. And to be honest, they're very dangerous. Number 4 in your notes. Any spiritual activity that is not clearly Christian is sinful. In today's society, in Paul's society, drugs and witchcraft were mixed together. People would use mind-altering drugs in witchcraft ceremonies. In our society, they're not necessarily clearly together. They're clearly involved with one another, but they're not necessarily clearly together. But I would definitely say that Paul would condemn both of them separately. Spiritual activity that is not of Christ would be a deed of the flesh, and clearly drug abuse that may or may not have anything to do with occultic practices is also a deed of the flesh. These are both occultic activity and drug abuse would be sinful and demonic practices. As we close, let's look at this list. Galatians 5:19. We want to work together with the Holy Spirit to get this trash out of our life. Now, the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, and sorcery. Let's take some time and pray right now, just between you and the Lord. I'm done talking. I want you to pray just between you and the Lord. Are you involved in sexual immorality? Homosexuality, adultery, or any sexual activity outside holy matrimony? The Bible says all sin is a result of heart contamination. Give it to the Holy Spirit. Give it to God. Let Him clean it out of your life. While you're praying, I want to ask all of you, do you have a proper view of sin? Sin is impurity. It is infection. It is disease. It is an oozing wound poisoning your heart. Pray right now, just between you and the Lord, that God would give you a proper view of sin and that you would forsake it and embrace His beautiful work in your heart. Have you engaged in what the Bible calls excessive sin? Are you planning maybe a bachelor party or a 21st birthday or something like this
where there's going to be a disregard for decency and modesty and Christian morals. This is the result of heart contamination. Surrender it to Jesus Christ and say, God, I want to be holy and righteous and pure every day of my life. Are you involved in any spiritual activity that is not clearly Christian? This is the result of heart contamination. Bring it before the Lord right now and say to Jesus Christ, I will do nothing spiritual without you, my Savior, at the center of it. Finally, is there anything or anyone in your life that is competing with God for the throne of your heart? We must love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. He must be number one. Above our spouse, above our children, above money, above pleasure, and by all means, above self. Is Jesus clearly on the throne of your heart? In your words, attitudes, actions, thoughts, in every area of your life? Would you confess that? And would you tell God that you want to love him number one? Heavenly Father, we know that all sin is a result of heart contamination, and we pray that Jesus Christ would be on the throne of our hearts and that he would make our hearts pure gold, the gold of righteousness and holiness and purity. In Jesus' name, amen. This is why we love Jesus. Amen? We love Jesus because he cleans us up. Look behind me at Romans 13:13-14. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lusts. If you're here this morning, as Mike said when he was leading us in communion, if you're here this morning and you do not have Jesus Christ in your heart, you have never come to that place where you admit you're a sinner, and you want to forsake that and embrace Jesus, knowing that you need him for forgiveness and to clean you out, the elders will be right over here for just a few moments. Please come and talk to us, and we can help you get started on your relationship with Jesus Christ.